Okay, good morning, everybody. Welcome back to our Thursday morning shiur at the Youngest Rav Woodmere. Just a calendar reminder, okay, I announced it last week. There is shiur next week. Yes, Be'ezrat Hashem, June 22nd, there is shiur. June 29th, there is no shiur. July 6th begins the six-week summer program. We have six classes in the summer. It begins July 6th, and Be'ezrat Hashem runs for the six consecutive weeks. Yes, Thursday is Tisha B'Av. If you recall, unfortunately, annually, I give a shiur on Tisha B'Av right after Chatzot. I have an extremely busy July, extremely, with many different programs and a lot of different teaching. So I was working on my Tisha B'Av shiur earlier this week. So I said to Mezmer, bring my Tisha B'Av shiur, halavai, we shouldn't have one. So he said, Meretz Hashem will be in Yerushalayim. And you'll say, this is what I would have said if we would have been Tisha B'Av in Chutzlar. So that is the summer calendar. There are 6 weeks starting July 6th. Yes, shiur next week. No shiur, June 29th. And then we resume July 6th, Be'ezrat Hashem. Okay, let's get right into our learning. We are continuing with our topic of Shalom. And we see that this is extremely text-based. We've already spent 2 hours in the past two shiurim talking about Shalom. The topic continues now. And we have seen what an emphasis the Torah, Biktav, and also Torah Sheba'al Peh, puts on the topic of Shalom. We have not repeated any of our sources. In fact, we're doing very source-based for the third shiur in a row, which really reminds us what gravity the Torah gives to this midah and matzov of Shalom. I was also thinking how Hashem arranges the calendar so appropriately, because it's Shabbos Mevarchim Tammuz, and Tammuz begins the mournful time. The 3 weeks are in Tammuz, moving into Av, and it is the base destruction of the temple, for which we mourn. Like my husband said, Alavai, we should be in Eretz Yisrael, and on Tisha B'Av it'll be a Moed Tov, and I'll say, this is what I would have said if we would have still been in Galus. We all know why the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. It is a lack of Shalom that ravages and plagues our people, Rachmana Litzlan, that leads to the continuity of this terrible Galus called Dar Shel Abana B'Yamav, Ki'ilu Nechrov B'Yamav, and so it is very appropriate not only always to learn about Shalom, but it really is me Yanei Diyoma, as we prepare to begin the month of Tammuz. Oh, by the way, the first shiur in the summer program is also Shivas Arba Tammuz. So on July 6th, we're going to have a special Shivas Arba Tammuz shiur, and then 3 weeks later, Rachmana Litzlan, we're going to have, out of six shiurim, two are Yom Tainis, and we will be discussing then in Yanei Diyoma. So where are we up to in your handout? I mark exactly where we left off. We are on page 3 of your handout packet, the bottom source, okay? So this is a Medrash, Bereishis Rabba, Parsha Nunvav, Simon Yud. Okay. So what is the Medrash talking about? The Medrash is speaking about when Hashem named the city of Yerushalayim. Now we'll notice that Yerushalayim is a city of peace, not only because we pray for the peace of Jerusalem, but in the name Yerushalayim, we have the word Shalom. So where did the name Yerushalayim come from? In Sefer Bereishis, we have many tzaddikim, but we have two prominent tzaddikim who actually meet at one time. In Perek Yedalad, we have a meeting between Malki Tzadek and Avram Avinu. That's after the War of the Four Kings and the Five Kings, and Avram is victorious, and Malki Tzadek is a kohen, the Kal Elyon, and he comes out to meet Avram Avinu. Now, when Malki Tzadek comes out in Perek Yedalad after the victory of Avram Avinu and Eliezer and his men, and he meets him, he is identified as Malki Tzedek Melech Shalim. Malki Tzedek is the king of Shalim. That's how the Torah calls him in Perek Yudalad. Okay. Now, by the Akedas Yitzchak, in Perek Chaf Beis of Bereishis, after Avram Avinu does not shecht his son, he journeys to the Akedah, and he's prepared to shecht his son. He wants to take the Ma'achelas, and a voice calls out, Al tishlach na yadcha el anar, v'al taslo me'uma, ki ato yidati ki yore Elokim ata. And Rashi says there, Avram says, if I can't shecht him, shall I at least make a little nick? Hashem said, don't shecht him, don't make a nick, don't do anything, the Akedah is over, it's considered as if he was shecht before me, this will be our merit for the generations. But Yitzchak Avinu was not; his life was not taken. And Avram says, "B'makom asher Hashem yira." What will this place be called? Hashem yira. Hashem will be seen. Really, Yerushalayim is a place where Hashem will be seen and Hashem will see. Hashem sees us in a much more real sense in Yerushalayim, and we perceive the Shechina in Yerushalayim. So we have these two tzaddikim in Sefer Bereishis. Malki Tzedek is identified as the king of Shalem, and Avram Avinu on Har HaMoriah says this place is Hashem Yireh. So now, with that as our introduction, let's go to this beautiful Medrash Bereishis Rabbah, Perek Nun Vav, Siman Yud. Okay? And again, it's page 3. It's the last source on your handout. Here we go. Avram Kore Oso Yireh. So what did Avram Avinu call this city after the culmination of the Akedah? Avram called it Yireh Shen Ne'emar, like the Pasuk says. Vayikra Avram Shem HaMakom Ahu Hashem Yireh. So that's what we explained. I explained that to you outside. That's what the Medrash says. However, we have a problem. The problem is that Shem is also a tzaddik. Shem is Malki Tzaddik. Shame, karaoso shalem. However, we have a problem because we have another tzaddik who called it shalem, shenemar, like the pasuk says, umalki tzaddik melech shalem. And if you look at the footnote there, you'll see the footnote tells you that I quoted the pasuk for you. And what does Rashi say there? Rashi says, who is malki tzaddik? Footnote on your handout, footnote number 10 on your handout, you see it. Who is he? The Medrash Agada says that he's Shem ben Noach. So malki tzaddik is Shem ben Noach. So when the pasuk says that shame, when the Medrash says shame, calls it Shalem, Malki Tzedek, Melech Shalem, Malki Tzedek is shame. L'maiser, you know, remember Shame Cham Yafeh, shame is the Tzedek, so shame is Malki Tzedek, and he calls it the king of Shalem. So my city is Shalem, and Avram says, wait, we should call the city Hashem Yireh. So what should I do? Amar Kodesh Baruch Hu. So what did a Kodesh Baruch Hu say? Im Kore Ani Oso Yireh. Look at this, look at this. Look at this, look what Hashem did. Avram is the father and the founder of the Umma Yisraelis. Rav Salvechik says about Avram, had Avram asked questions, he would have lost the right to become the father of the Umma Yisraelis. His emunah was such that he discovered Hashem on his own. He converted myriads and thousands of people. See the Rambam's introduction to Hilchos Avodas Kochavim, Perek Aleph, his introduction. See Rashi to Bereishis 12:5. Ambinu is an unbelievable tzaddik. Lechecha equals gematria 100, says the Baal term, because he walked over Hashem for 100 years, from 75 Lechecha till he died at 175. Perek Aleph Bereishis is an unbelievable tzaddik. So Hashem should just call it Hashem Yireh, because Avram wants to call it Hashem Yireh. What are you so worried about somebody else? For who cares what Malki Tzedek wanted to say? I mean, I know he's a Kohen, the Kel Elyon, but he's not Avram Avinu. But he was a good person, Malki Tzedek, and he's a priest to the God Most High. So Hashem says, wait a minute. I'm Ner Kosh Baruch Hu. Im Kora Ni Oso Yirek Hashem Shakara Oso Avram. Shame Adam Tzedek Misraim. I have a problem, Kaviyacha, says the Ribbono Shel Olam. If I call it Yireh like Avram wants to call, then shame happens to be a tzaddik. Maybe he's not an Avram Avinu, maybe he's not a Moshe Rabbeinu, maybe he's not a Shmuel Navi, but he's a tzaddik, and I don't want to insult him. He's going to feel very bad. He's going to feel so bad that I ignored and slighted his opinion. Im kore ani oso shalem, but I also have a problem. If I call the city Shalem, who called it Shalem? Malki Tzedek slash shame. If I call it Shalem, Avram Adam Tzaddik. Avram is also a tzaddik, and what's going to happen? Misraim, who's going to feel bad? Avram will feel bad. So if I call it after the name of Malki Tzedek, I'm going to insult Avram. If I call it after the name of Avram, I'm going to insult Malki Tzedek slash shame. Allah, Harani, I bolded it for you. Harani, third line from the bottom of page 3. Harani, Korah, also Yerushalayim. So I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to call Yerushalayim Shemo, Kemo, Shekorah, Shnehem. Like they both called it. Yerei Shalem, Yerushalayim. So what did Hashem do? He made a compromise, so to speak. He doesn't want anyone to feel bad. You have an opinion. You have an opinion. I don't want there to be any fights. I was right. You were right. I was here first. You were here first. I'm going to make a compromise. So you see that inherent in the, even the name Yerushalayim is this idea of making shalom between two people. By the way, why does Yireh go before Shalem? Why does Avram Avinu's name go before Malki Tzedek's name? Maybe it should have been called Shalem Yireh. You wouldn't have thought that was weird. It sounds weird because we're used to being Yerushalayim. But okay, so there's a beautiful answer in the Sefer Days of Awe, Days of Joy, put out by Torah Web. But I do not have time, or I'm really not going to finish anything. But it's not random. Maybe one time we'll see how long today takes us. It's a really beautiful answer, not for now. But there's a reason that Yireh, Avram's name, goes before Shalem, Malki Tzedek's name. But for purposes of our learning Yerushalayim, we see that Hashem made a compromise. But why? So nobody should feel bad. And when people feel bad, there's going to be a lack of Shalem. So inherit in the name of our holiest city in the whole world, 10 ministers of beauty came to the world, and Yerushalayim took 9. In Herod, in the name Yerushalayim, is built into it, the idea of making shalom between two opposing ideas. Rabbi Brecha b'shem Rabbi Chalba Amar. And this end of the Medrash is a different teaching, but it's very, very relevant as well. Rabbi Brecha b'shem Rabbi Chalba Amar. Rabbi Brecha, in the name of Rabbi Chalba, says, Ad shehu shalem. Now, how do you translate that? Ad shehu shalem, until the city is complete. But you could also say, because shalem is the word shalom, obviously, until the city is infused with peace. Ad shehu shalem, until Yerushalayim is complete, or until Yerushalayim is a city of true shalom. What is Hashem doing? What's Hashem doing while he waits for the rebuilding of Yerushalayim? We should ask ourselves, what are we doing while we wait for the rebuilding of Yerushalayim? Are we partying in Golos? Are we so happy to be in Chutz Lartz? Are we living it up? Is this the best thing that ever happened to us? Is it the, Yerushalayim Shel Zahav? What are we doing while we wait for the Binyan Beis HaMikdash? So what is Hashem doing while he waits for the city of Shalom to be Shalem, the city of peace to be complete? Ad Shehu Shalem, what's Hashem doing? He's davening. He's praying. Asa lo akash baruch hu suka, v'haya mitpalel betocha. Hashem makes a little shelter for himself, a little booth, shade, and he is davening inside. Shenemar, like the pasuk says, v'yihi b'shalem suko u'me'onoso b'tzion. Again, you have your footnote number 11. You can see the pasuk. It's a pasuk from Tehillim, Perek Ayin Vav. His sukkah was in Shalem, and his dwelling place is in Tzion. So the Medrash says this is referring to the Ribono Shel Olam. His dwelling place, meaning the dwelling place of the Ribono Shel Olam, is the sukkah in Yerushalayim, and his dwelling place is in Tzion. And ma haya omer. What is Hashem saying? Hashem's davening. We daven Rifa'enu, we daven Barech Aleinu, we daven Hashiva Shofteinu, we daven Ritzena, we daven Sim Shalom. What is Hashem davening? Umahaya Omer, Yehi Ratzon She'era B'Vinyan Bisi. Hashem's davening. For almost 2,000 years, he's davening because he's waiting for the city of Yerushalayim, which is a compromise between two people. Who are the two people? Two tzaddikim. I don't want there to be machlokas between these two tzaddikim. So I'm going to give you, Avram, some kavod. I'm going to give you, Malki Tzedek Shalem, some kavod. And I will call the city by both names so everyone's happy and we will all get along. And what is Hashem doing while he waits for the city to be Shalem? Again, for the city to be two things. The city of peace, Shalom, to be Shalem complete. He makes himself a little shelter or shade, and he's davening. It's the Lashon of the Medrash. It's unbelievable. Ad Shehu Shalem, Asalo Kosh Baruch Hu Suka, V'haya Mitpalel B'tocha, Shenemer V'yihi B'Shalem Suko, U'ma'onoso B'tzion, U'mahaya Omer. What is his tefillah? Yihi Ratzon She'era B'vinyan Bisi. It should be, what's happening? What's wrong? A few people are turning around. Something, there's a noise? Oh. So Hashem is saying that may it be my will that I should be zochet to see the building of my temple. So we think we want the temple to be rebuilt. We have to ask ourselves, actually, do we really want the temple to be rebuilt? Balamaisa, who really wants the temple to be rebuilt? Who really wants it to be that the Tisha B'Av Shir cannot be a 105 after Chatzos here? It should be where? In Yerushalayim. And I'll say, this is what I would have said if we were still in Golos. Who really wants it to be rebuilt? The Ribono Shel Olam. And he's waiting and he's davening. This reminded me of a pasuk from Sefer Devarim. Okay, it's the next source on your hand. Oh yeah, turn to page 4. Va'asisa ha'yasher v'hatov b'nei Hashem. Devarim is a very, very, very beautiful, poetic, moving, emotional sefer of Moshe Rabbeinu. Eila Devarim asher diber Moshe el kol Yisrael. It's a sefer that Moshe Rabbeinu composed in the days before his death, and it's like his spiritual tzava. And there's not so many mitzvos in Sefer Devarim. It's a lot of admonishments and musar, tochacha, reminders, a number of mitzvos. And we have a beautiful pasuk, and the pasuk, many beautiful pasukim. It's such a beautiful sefer. V'asisa ha'yasher v'hatov b'nei Hashem. You should do what is straight and good in the eyes of Hashem. L'man yitav lach. If you do what is straight and good in the eyes of Hashem, it will be good for you. And when it's good for you, uvasa v'yirashta sa'aretz ha'tova. So look at this. Doing what is right and good means that what will come? Yeshivas Eretz Yisrael. If we do what's right and good, It seems to be from this pasuk, when you do what is right and good, it will be good for you. You will come. You will take possession and inherit the good land that Hashem swore to your forefathers. So if the secret to taking possession and inheriting the land is v'asisa ha'yashar v'atov b'nei Hashem, I have to know what is v'asisa ha'yashar v'atov b'nei Hashem. Maybe it means shmura matzah on Pesach. Maybe it means tainis dibur on Yom Kippur. Maybe it means being very machmir on kashrus. What does it mean? All those things are very nice, but what is the yashar v'atov b'enei Hashem that will be good for you, that will lead you to come and take possession of my land? Hayashar v'atov ze pishara lifni mishur sadim. Compromise and going beyond the letter of the law. There are many things that we have to do as Torah Yidden. Many, 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 many things that we have to do as Torah Jews. But you want to know, says the Pasuk, what is good and right, what is straight and good in the eyes of Hashem, which will benefit you and which will lead you to come to the land that Hashem is praying for, the reunification of Jerusalem. Zal Pshara, this is compromise. Lifni Mishura Sadin, going beyond the letter of the law. So let's say you really have the right of way and you're really right and it was really your way. Let the other person be right. Let the other person have the right of way. What will it cost us? The benefit will be Uvasa v'yirashtes arta tova shenishba shema v'secha zob shara. If the Ribbono Shel Olam, the Ribbono Shel Olam v'kvado ba'atzmo could find a way to make a compromise between Malki Tzedek and Avram Avidu, and we have a mitzvah v'halachta b'drachav, so how much more so do we have to find the tools for pshara, compromise, v'lifni mishira sadin, and going before the letter of the law. I saw this story a few weeks ago in Mishpacha magazine. Do I have the date here? No. I cut it out. Rav Meirich Biederman. So Rav Meirich Biederman, of course, is a very famous mashpia and rabbi in Eretz Yisrael. Maybe some of you read Torah Wellsprings every week. I used to read it religiously. It's long, and I really just don't have the time, but his teachings are really, really so, so beautiful. You know, like I would print up like 40 pages and then read two. So, but they're really so, so beautiful. Rav Meirich is a tremendous mashpia and a leader and a teacher and a gadol in Eretz Yisrael. So he tells over the following story, and I cut it out, the page from Mishpacha a few weeks ago, and I think it's relevant to our learning. Rav Meirich Biederman recently related a story about a certain Jerusalem tzaddik that quickly went viral. What is the story? The story concerns an episode very early in the life of Rav Nachum Cohn. Rav Nachum Cohn is a Jerusalem Mekubal, and in his first marriage to Rabbitzin Sarah Rachel, with whom they had 19 children. And she passed away suddenly in 2006. So this story happened in the early years of his marriage to Rabbitzin Sarah Rachel. It's a story of Rav Nachum Cohn. Okay, he's a Yerushalayim Mekubal. Some 63 years ago, when he and Rebbetzin Sarah Racha had been married for 2 months, she was still going to visit her mother every day. She was the oldest sibling in her family, and her mother was dealing with a full house of her own, relied on Sarah Racha's help with the other children. As the oldest in a full house, she was only married for 2 months, she was going back to help her mother every day. Rav Nachum was concerned that this arrangement was causing his wife too much stress, especially since they just learned she was expecting. He advised her, only go to your mother every other day. Rav Nachum soon received word at his kolo that his shviger wanted to speak with him. So during Bein HaSedarim midday, he went to the shviger's house. She admonished him in strong terms for denying her the help of her daughters. I'm not giving marriage advice. I'm not giving in-law advice. I'm telling this story for the purpose of illustrating the power of making and keeping shalom. Hey, that's it. After enduring his mother-in-law's reproof, Rav Nachum Cohn didn't know what to do. But he made a decision that would prove to be fateful. When he left his shviger's house, he did not go home to his new wife to report what just happened. Instead, he went directly to one of his important life mentors, Rav Ella Roth, a gabbai of Rav Shlomo Kovtzvil, who is widely recognized as a tzaddik in his own right. So instead of going home and saying to his wife, you know what your mother just said to me, how dare she, I'm the man in the house, he went to his rabbi, to consult with his rabbi, Rav Elia Roth. Rav Nachum recounted everything that transpired. His rabbi, Rav Roth, absorbed the details and said, did you tell anyone about this? Rav Nachum replied, no. I came straight from my Schwieger's house to you. I did not tell my wife. If that's the case, said Rav Elaroth, it was all a choylem. This was a dream. None of this ever happened. Forget about it. So Rav Nachum dutifully went home to his wife, who told her nothing about the incident. A few days later, they continued. Everything was going on as normal. But then a few days later, he received another message at the kolo. His Schwieger wants to speak with him. Again, he appeared at her door. And she said, I feel so bad. I can't sleep at night. Following his rabbi's advice, Rav Nachum said, why can't you sleep at night? What's wrong, Schwieger? When she began apologizing for rebuking him a few days earlier, he only said, I don't know what you're talking about. Maybe it was a dream. It worked. The whole episode was soon forgotten. And Rav Meidich Biderman concluded that perhaps because Rav Nachum did not raise an issue over a potential machlokas and his mother-in-law's reprimands, he saved his marriage, preserved his marriage, and he was zocha to Kanai Nahar 19 children. This is a lesson for life. Something gets you upset. It was a choylem and be mevater. Not only did he not get into a fight, he went door to door collecting for the wedding of the other children in his wife's family. He helped marry off all their other children. So mother-in-law relations, newly married couple relations, I'm not talking about any of those relationships. It was a dream. His rabbi said, you didn't tell anyone about it? Forget it. It never happened. He never brought it up. He never told his wife. They didn't fight about it. He didn't have problems with Shalom Bais with his in-laws. And when the mother-in-law came to apologize, he said, what are you talking about? It's all just a dream. Now, is this practical? Can we always do this? Obviously, you cannot always do that. However, we see the power of Shalom. Now, you could say you're lying. Isn't he lying? It wasn't a dream. Now we already know Shina B'davar Mipnei Hashem. We saw it in the first Medrash, in the first class. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shina B'davar Mipnei Hashem. What happened? Remember we saw in the Medrash, the Medrash on V'yasem Lecha Shalom from Parshas Naso. What does the Medrash say? Sarah said, Adoni Zakin. But Hashem said to Avram, Lama Zetzacha Kasara Leimor, V'anochi Zakanti. But that's not what she said. So Hashem also changed the words. Hashem changed the reality. How could the Ribbono Shel Olam, whose Chos Moshe Al Kadosh Baruch Hu Emes, change reality? Is Hashem Chas V'Shalom a liar? Chas V'Shalom, I can't even say such a thing. Sometimes it's necessary. Shina B'davar Mipnei Hashalom. Now I know that's not a pass to go start lying about everything in your life and saying Shina B'davar Mipnei Hashalom. However, Rav Elaroth said to this Jerusalem Mekubal in his early marriage, it was a dream. He maintained peace with his wife, he maintained peace with his mother-in-law, and everything continued in an environment of shalom. What is the Ribbono Shel Olam doing? He's sitting in the Yeshiva Shamala over Har HaMoria in Sion in a sukkah. And what is he saying? In Tol Yerushalayim is shalem, shalom, shalem. What is he saying? Yehi ratzon she'era bevinyan beisi. Halavai, I should be zocha to see that my city will be rebuilt. But if we want the city to be rebuilt, we need to follow God's model. How did God build Jerusalem? Yerushalayim. I don't want to insult Avram. I don't want to insult Malki Tzedek. I don't want them to be fighting with each other. Pshara v'lifni mishuras hadim. Havaisisa yashar v'atob b'nei Hashem. If you do what's good and right in the eyes of Hashem, you will come to the land. What's good and right? It is compromise and going beyond the letter of the law. Sometimes, for the sake of peace, we have to go beyond the letter of the law. The letter of the law is midvar sheker tircha. You should never tell a lie. Parshas Mishpatim. Sometimes I need to go beyond the letter of the law in order to have compromise, pshara, which leads to shalom, which ultimately will lead to the building of the Beis HaMikdash. We are on page 4 of your handout. The second source, third source. The Mishnah tells us in Pirkei Avos, we are journeying through the summer months, and many of us have accustomed to recite, or to learn, I should say, one parak of Pirkei Avos, Shabbos afternoon, after Mincha. So the Mishnah tells us in Pirkei Avos, a very, very famous Mishnah. Hillel tells us, Hevemi Talmid of Shal Aaron, you should be of the students of Aaron. By the way, who's the one who gives us the Birkas Kohanim? Aaron. How apropos that it's Aaron who says, Yivrecha Hashem, Ya'ir, and ultimately, Yisah Hashem, V'yasem Lecha Shalom, because this was the embodiment of the persona of Avram Avinu, of Aaron, a Kohen. Why do I say that? I don't know. Arna Cohen. Hilo Omer, Hilo said, Hevemi Tamidov Shal Aaron. You should be of the students of Aaron. What does it mean to be of the student of Aaron? Ohev Shalom, you should love peace. Verodev Shalom, you should pursue peace. Ohev Esabrios, you should love people. Umekarv in the Torah and bring them close to Torah. So you see that Shalom and Ahava go hand in hand. Aaron loved peace and pursued peace. And because he was a man of peace, he loved people. So if you have Shalom, you will have Ahava Sabrios. And if you don't have Shalom, Rachmana Letzlan, if you don't have Shalom, people, how could you have Ahava Sabrios? It's a complete stira. If you are Shalom B'Shalom, you will have Ahava. And if you, Rachmana Letzlan, are not Shalom and not B'Shalom, you will not have Ahava. Next week's Parsha, this week in Eretz Yisrael, next week in Chutzart, it's Mechokas of Korach. Korach Machlokas divides and tears people apart. There is no Ahava if there is no Shalom. So this is what it means we should be of the students of Aaron. Ohev Shalom Verodev Shalom, Ohev Sabrios Makarv on the Torah. Let's look at the Bartanura. The Bartanura is the famous Italian commentator on the Mishnah, Mishnayos. Hevemi Tamidov Shal Aaron, Ohev Shalom Verodev Shalom. So the Bartanura says, I'm in the middle of page 4. Peirusha Ba'avis de Rabbi Nasan. The Bartanura quotes Avis de Rabbi Nasan. Keitzer haya Aaron ohev shalom. What does it mean that Aaron loved peace? In what fashion? How did Aaron love peace? It's nice to say, I love peace. So what does that mean? I stand in front of my house and I say, I love peace. I put a sign on my law that says, I love peace. But I'm in the supermarket and somebody cuts me in the, you know, in the cashier line. And then I start screaming. So what is the sign on my law going to help me? Do I really love peace? You have to somehow demonstrate that you love peace. You can't just say, I love peace. What does it mean to be an Ohev Shalom? In some concrete fashion, how do we display this Ahava Shalom? When Aaron would see two people in a quarrel, two people were fighting. He would go to each party without the knowledge of the other one. So let's say Reuven and Shimon were in a fight. Reuven and Shimon were in a quarrel. So he would go to Reuven without telling Shimon, and he would go to Shimon without telling Reuven. And he would say to Reuven, look at your friend. Echu mischarit. He has so much charata, so much regret. Umaka et atzmo. Every day in slach lanu, he claps his heart. He really feels so bad. He's beating himself up. At shechat alecha, he goes to Reuven and he says, look at Shimon. Shimon feels so bad. He has so much regret. He's beating himself up that he sinned against you. V'hu amer li sha'avo eilecha shetimchalo. And he, Shimon, told me, I should come to you, Reuven, and you should forgive him. Now, Shimon never said Reuven. Shimon is very angry at Reuven. Shimon's not beating himself up. Shimon thinks, I'm waiting until Reuven comes and apologizes to me. He would do this to each party. Then he would go to Shimon, and he would say, Reuven feels so bad. He has so much charata. He's beating himself up. He sinned against you. He told me to come to you, and you should forgive him. Umitoch kach. And because he would do this, so this is another, it's not enough to say, I love peace. I pursue peace. That's just empty words. In what fashion, in a concrete way, how do we try to cultivate peace in our lives? And Hillel says you have to be from the students of Aaron. And through this fashion, through his tactic, and once again it's Shina B'davar M'Pnei Hashalom, by the way, because Reuven never sent him to Shimon, and Shimon never sent him to Reuven, so everything Aaron was saying was technically a lie. He's actually saying words that are not true. Ay, Reuven, Shimon's beating himself up. Maka es atzmo. He has so much charatu, mischarit, and he sent me. It's the whole thing's not true. None of these words were ever said. So you see how the Torah considers Shalom to be of such, I mean, these sources are incredible. This is an extremely source-based three-part Shir series. But the sources are incredible how far the Torah goes to delineate the crucial importance of peace in our lives, peace in our nation. And like we started off Shir today, Yerushalayim is going to remain in ruins until we can figure out how to have Shalom. Umitoch kach kishahaya pogim zebazah. And like, I mean, 4th line of the Bartanura. And from this fashion, when they would meet one another, hayu minashkim zedzeh. They each thought the other said sorry first. Reuven thought Shimon apologized. Shimon thought Reuven apologized. They were worried about their own cover. Now that you apologized to me, they would hug and they would kiss. Doesn't say hug, I'm just embellishing a little. They would kiss when they met each other. So once again, it's another example. It's technically not true. He changed the words. But just like the Ribbono Shel Olam changed the words, we have to learn that sometimes we have to go out of our way for peace, even if it means telling an untruth. It's hard to define like that. Hadi Machle says, it's actually based on this week's Sedra and Chutzars, but I don't want to get into it. By the Meraglim, when they say, Banu ala arts asher shlachtanu v'zepirya, v'gam eretz zavat chalav udvashi, v'zepirya. So Rashi says there, why did they say zavat chalav udvash? Kol davar sheker she'ein armin bok tzat emes b'tchilasho, ein emes kayemes b'sofo. I don't remember the pasuk, it's at the end of Perek Yud Gimel. I don't know, something in the 20s. It's from Perek Yud Gimel. They come back and they say, Banu ala arts asher shlachtanu, we came to the land where you sent us. Listen, it's taka, land flowing with milk and honey. Vizepir, yeah, and these are the fruits. Efas. So why do they say it's an erev zavat chalav udvash? Just start with your slander. So zukt Rashi, kol davar emes, kol davar sheker, she'ein amri bok tzad emes b'tchilasho, ein emes kayemes b'sofo. Any word of sheker that you say that doesn't have some truth in the beginning will not be upheld. In other words, they wanted the people to believe them. So before they start their sheker, they say a little bit of emes. What's the problem with this Rashi? I said I'm not getting into it, but I guess I am very quickly. What's the problem with this Rashi? They didn't say sheker. They said the people are very strong. The people were very strong. They said Amalek is in the south. Amalek is Beretz HaNegev. They said we saw Bnei Anakim. They saw Bnei Anakim. They said the fruits are huge. The fruits are huge. So what is Rashi saying? How could Rashi say, Kol davar sheker, she'ein omri bok tzat emes b'chilaso, ein omis kayemes b'sofo. There's no sheker. What's a sheker? They reported what they saw. Moshe said, are the cities fortified or open? Are the people strong or weak? Are they many or few? Bring us back fruit. They did everything they were told. So maybe Rashi should say, Kol lashon hara. But to say kol davar sheker, so why am I going into it? Because it actually relates exactly to our shir. So Hani Machlis says, I'm not going to go into the Gemara and Ksubos Yad Zayin, Blineda. So Hani Machlis teaches Alel Shav. You have to just be careful with this. And you have to be a Ben or Bas Torah and a Bal Seichel and an Ever Hashem to apply this rule. But Hani Machlis says, Emes is what Hashem wants you to say, and Sheker is what Hashem does not want you to say. Emes is what Hashem wants you to say, and Sheker is what Hashem does not want you to say. So Hashem does not want to say that Sarah said, my husband is old, because he doesn't want there to be shown by his bias between Avram and Sarah. And Sheker would be going back to the Shviger and saying, and going back to the wife, and telling everyone what happened. It actually happened. So how is it sheker? Because Hashem does not want you to say it. Hashem does not want the Meraglim to spew the negative attitude of Eretz Yisrael, so it's considered sheker, even though they spoke the facts. It's sheker. Why is it related to Gemara and Ksubas Yud Zayin? Because Kate said Meraglim lifnei Akala. Actually, it's Hillel and Shammai. So Hillel is the one who says, Oiv Sham, Rodiv Sham, Oiv Sabrius, and Makarv on the Torah. So how does that relate to the Gemara and Ksubas Yud Zayin? I believe it's Ksubas Yud Zayin Amud Beis, because how does it relate to the Gemara? There, the Gemara asks Akasha, Ketzen Meraktim Lifnei Akala. How do you dance before the bride? So Beis Shammai says, Hal Akala Kemosha Hi, however she is, that's what you should say. She's in a wheelchair, she has a hearing loss, she's not so beautiful, I don't know, all kinds of negative things, but that's the reality. She has a hearing loss, she's in a wheelchair, she's not so beautiful, I don't know, she's losing her hair, whatever, I don't know. She's lame. That's what the Gemara says. So Beis Hillel says, what are you saying? You should always say, Kala na'a v'chasuda. You should always say, she's a pleasing bride of chesed and beautiful. So Beis Hillel says, Beis Shammai says to Beis Hillel, doesn't the Torah say, Midvar Sheker Tirchak? If she's a suma or ani lame, if she's blind or she's lame, I should say she's Kala na'a v'chasuda. I'm lying. So Beis Hillel says to Beis Shammai, wait a minute, if somebody buys a mikach ra from the shuk, if somebody buys a purchase, you don't like their new couch, you don't like their new shoes, you don't like the rug, you don't like the dress they're wearing to their daughter's wedding, should you tell them, yishabchenu be'enav or yiganenu be'enav? Should you say it's so beautiful, there's no refunds, they didn't buy it at Costco, they didn't buy it at Target, they bought it in a one-time final sale, stamp the receipt with red pen, no refunds. So it's not negative, it's not dangerous. You don't like the pattern on their couch. Yishabchenu be'enav v'yuganenu b'enav. So you go to the house and they say, wow, I know I spent $2,500 on this new couch. And you say, oh, wow, you know, really doesn't match. It's not so nice. Why are you saying that? Beis Hillel says to Beis Shammai, if somebody bought something in the shuk and you don't like it, so are you going to praise it or you're going to disparage it? Certainly, b'vadai havei omer yishabchenu be'enav. Certainly you're going to praise it in his eyes. So what does the Gemara conclude? How should you dance before the Kala? Kites on Merak, the Mufne Akal. Who do we paskin like? Thank God we don't paskin like who? Beis Shammai, the Shalom Bayis would be off to a very bad start. Never mind 2 months into the marriage. You go over to the Chas and you say, oh, you couldn't do any better. That's the woman you got, didn't you? Notice all of her chisronos? So we paskin, says the Gemara, like Beis Hillel. Why? Because whatever she is, he likes her. Beauty's in the eyes of the beholder. Don't go and insult somebody. You should say, wow, she's so beautiful. She looks radiant. Her gown is gorgeous. She looks happy. Oh, but maybe it's not true. But it's MS because what does Hashem want you to say? What Hashem wants you to say. What does Hashem not want you to say? What he doesn't want you to say. So therefore, by the Meraglim, it's this week's Sedra and Chutzars. Okay, it's by the Meraglim, says the Rashi, called of our Sheker. They didn't actually say falsified facts, but you could still call it Sheker. Because Hashem said in Perek Gimel Pasuk Ches, it's of Shemos, Perek Gimel Pasuk Ches of Shemos, Eretz Tov U'Rechava. Eretz Zavat Chalav U'Dvash. So Hashem said it's Tov U'Rechava. When he first met Moshe by the burning bush. So God doesn't want you to come back and say, we can't do it. Lo Nuchal La'alot. So Kol Davar Sheker. Any falsification. No. Anything Hashem does not want you to say. She'ein Amrim Bo K'tzat Emes B'tchilaso. So they say a little bit of MS, but Hashem verified it's Zavach Chalav U'Dvash. But then they start to say Sheker. What Sheker? They said true facts, but it's not what God wants them to say. It might be true facts that the Gemara says that she is a Suma or an Elaim. It's actually true. But should you go over to the Chosin and say, did you notice your Kal is blind? While you couldn't find someone who sees? What kind of thing is that to say, says Beis Hillel to Beis Shammai? What will be the foundation of their Shalom Bayis? You will be responsible for destroying the Shalom in the home. So Beis Hillel says, Kalana v'chasuda, under any circumstances. So you see, we've just quoted many sources where the idea of Pshara v'lifni mishur sadin leads to the institution of Shalom. It was all a dream. I don't want to insult Avram. I don't want to insult Malki Tzedek. Adoni Zalkein, Ani Zalkanti, Beis Hillel, Beis Shammai, Kalana v'chasuda, the spies and the Meraglim. So you see, if you want to have l'man yitav lach, uvasav yirash les arzot tov, asher nishba Hashem lavasecha, you need pshara v'lifni mishur sadin. Let's go, but why is that interesting? Because who teaches us in this Mishnah, you should love peace and pursue peace? Hillel. What is Beis Hillel's opinion in the Gemara? In order to love peace and love people, sometimes you need to change the facts a little, but it's still emes. She's still a kalana v'chasuda. Very powerful. You don't always have to be so honest in your opinion. Someone has a new pair of shoes, you don't like them, who cares? They're not dangerous, they're not five inch heels, they're not totally unsanua like the person at the street corner will wear, so say they're nice. Who cares? If there's a refund, and it's your best friend, or your sister, or someone's relying, and they say, I can get a full refund, I'm wearing it to, I don't know, the family simcha, what do you think? And you know they want your honest opinion, okay, fine. But otherwise, there was nothing wrong. Not nothing wrong. It's sanctioned by the Torah. I shouldn't even say not nothing wrong. Torah Sheba'al Peh, Ksubos Yud Zayin, Torah Shebichtav, Bereishis Yurchas, Bereishis Nun. The brothers changed the matter because of peace. Also, sanctioned by the Torah. I'm in the middle of the Bar Tanura. 1, 2, 3, 4. I'm in the middle of the fourth line on the Bar Tanura on page 4. It's the fourth source on page 4 in the middle of the fourth line. I don't think there's anything to that, but it's cool. The Kate said, Hayim Mekarev is Sabrios the Torah. And how would he bring people close to Torah? So that's how he would make Shalom. Okay? And we see that Aaron, the one of Yosem Lecha Shalom, would change the facts. Because Reuven never said, go to Shimon. Shimon never said, go to Reuven. Reuven never said, I feel bad. He has an ego. I don't feel bad. Shimon should feel bad. And Shimon never said, I feel bad, because he also has an ego. And he says, Reuven should feel bad. So Aaron, the Kohen Gadol, who wore the breastplate, who went into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, He changed the facts for peace. So we're not better than God, who changed the facts for peace. We're not better than the Shiftei Kol after Yaakov's death, Periklun, who changed the facts for peace. We're not better than Art and Akolin, who changed the facts for peace. And we're not better than Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai. So maybe we just need to be a little bit more humble and learn to be mevater for the sake of Shalom, because Rebbe Shalom is davening up there. He's on top of Maria saying, Yiratzon She'era B'vinyam Beisi. The case of Hayim Mekarvis Abrios to Torah. How did he bring people closer to Torah? Kishahaya Yodei Ba'adem She'avar Avera. So beautiful. When Aaron knew that a person was a sinner. Aaron's a gadol adar. And this guy's a sinner. What did he do to him? He didn't yell at him. He didn't send him hate mail. He didn't say, you're not allowed into my yeshiva. Hayam Mischabir Ima, from the word chaver. From the word chaver. He would befriend him. Umaralo panim tsuhuvos. He would show him a radiant countenance. That's interesting. That's actually in Rashi. By the Birkas Kohanim. Panim tsuhuvos, panim sochakos. That's what Hashem shows us. That's part of Aaron's Birkas Kohanim. You saw Hashem panav elacha. Your elacha panim tsuhuvos. Ya'er Hashem panav elacha. Your elacha panim sochakos, panim tsuhuvos. Wow, I never realized that. Wow, listen to what I'm telling you. Listen to what I'm telling you, please. And Parak Vav of Parshas Naso in Bamidbar, which is the point of departure for this Shir series. In the Birkas Kohanim, the Pasuk says in Parak Vav Pasuk of Hey, Ya'er Hashem Panev Elacha. Hashem, Ya'er, or light. Hashem should shine the light of his face upon you, so to speak. What does that mean? What is the blessing? So Rashi says, Yir Elacha Panim Sochakos, Panim Tsuhubos. It's mamish the exact same lashon. Wow. What is the bracha that Aaron gives? Hashem should give you Panim Sochakos, a smiling countenance. Panim Tsuhubos, a radiant countenance. Hashem will shine his light, his smile, so to speak, his radiance upon you. That's in the Birkas Kohanim. I just noticed this for the first time in my life, that the Bar Tanura, when he says how Aaron brought people closer to Torah, he paraphrases Rashi. Aaron, therefore, emulated the Midah of Hashem. Hashem shows us Panim Sochakos, Panim Tzuhubos. Listen, sometimes we're also sinners. Sometimes we're sinners too. Every day, I'm not insulting anyone. It's a part of the human condition. The Gemara says that there are only four who didn't sin. Okay? So we are also sinners. Hashem still shows us, Yarsh and Panav Elacha, he gives us Panim Sochakos, Panim Tzuhubos. That's Ribbono Shel Olam towards us. We have a mitzvah to emulate the Ribbono Shel Olam. It's very interesting that that's the midah that Aaron emulated. He would look at sinners and he would befriend them and give them panim tubas. I mean, it's mamash exact same lashon. It's Rashi to Parshas Naso, Perek Vav Pasuk Chaf Hei, and the bracha of Yarshem Panav Elacha. So Aaron would display this radiant countenance to sinners. He would embrace them. He would befriend them. V'haya osa adam mitbayesh. And this person felt so uncomfortable. The God of Dor thinks I'm such a tzaddik. The God of Dor is being so nice to me. If only he knew what I did yesterday. I smoked on Shabbos. V'omer ilo haya yodea tzaddik zu maisei haraim. Kimo haya misrachik mimeni. And this man would feel so uncomfortable, and he would say, my gosh, I was just smoking on Shabbos yesterday. I just ate not kosher. I just spoke Lashkin Hara. If this man would know, this tzaddik would know my bad deeds, what I did, kamahaya misyach areik mimadi, he would stay far, far away from me. And because he felt so bad that the God of Dor thinks he's a tzaddik, the God of Dor is a preconceived notion that every Jew is a tzaddik. He wanted to live up to that preconceived notion in a positive way, and therefore, chozer lemutov, he would do teshuva. The power of showing somebody kindness, friendship, and panim tzuhubos, which was Hashem shows us, which is what Aaron emulated and showed sinners, and makes a person come back to the Ribbono Shel Olam. Husha Navi made a love. This is what the Navi says in Malachi. You can see footnote number 12 on page 4. What is the Pasuk? B'shalom b'mishar halach iti v'rabim heishiv ma'avon. There you have the word Mishar again. Remember we saw the Pasuk in Devarim. Perek Vav Pasuk Yirches v'asisa hayashar v'hatov. What is Yasher and Tov Pshara Velishim Nifni Mishur Sadin? How did Aharon behave with people? Bishalom, with peace. Ubim Mishur, with Yashrus. Halach Iti, Aharon, says the Navi, paraphrasing what Hashem says, in peace and straightness he walked with me, the Rabim Heshiv Ma'avon. And he returned many away from sin. Why? Because how did Aharon walk with Hashem? Bishalom. He walked with God with shalom. He walked with people with shalom. It was a midah he chased after, ubemisha, and with yashrus. That's how he walked as an eved Hashem. Once again, the focus on shalom. Shalom and mishar, and therefore, rabim heishiv me'avon. Okay, let's go on. The Tosfos Yom Tov, after the Bar Tanura. The Tosfos Yom Tov says as follows. Tosfos Yom Tov, Rav Yom Tov, Lipman Heller, Krakow, 1500 to 1654. He's known for his commentary on the Mishnah called the Tosfos Yom Tov. Why should you love people? Why should you love people? Maybe my personality doesn't get along with everyone else's personality. Maybe they're not a good cook. Maybe I don't want to socialize with them. Maybe they're not my ishkafa. Why should you get along, love people, and pursue peace with them? Ohe v'chuli. So, ohev shalom, v'rol disham. Why? Lefi shem b'yosef shal kodesh baruch hu. Because everyone is a creation of Hashem. Hashem didn't just make me, and people like my Hashkafa, and people like my Torah, and people like my Allah. Hashem created every single person in this world. And Hashem endowed every single yid with their neshama tahora. And if you remember, Shehem Briyosef Shal Kodesh Baruch Hu, if you remember that not only am I a creation of God, but my fellow is also a creation of God. Therefore, it's worthy that I shall love them. If you see that Tzelem Elohim inside every other Jew, so who do I think I am to be better, to cause machlokas, to be in a fight with somebody else? How could I have the audacity to harm kaviyachal, the Elohim, in that person? This is why you should love them, not for another reason. Don't love them because they're going to benefit you, because they're going to give you a ride somewhere, because, I don't know, they're going to invite you to their simcha, they're going to see you at the dais. That's not why you should love them. You should just love them because Hashem made them and they're a Jew. And not only are you banim or banos l'makom, but they're also banim or banos l'makom. So you shouldn't love them, says the Tosfos Yom Tov, because in some way you're going to benefit from them. Whatever, I don't know. They'll let you use their backyard pool in the summer. So you're going to pretend to be friends with this person because you want to go swimming when it's 95 degrees in New York in the afternoon and it's not the 3 weeks anymore. So that's why you should be friends with them? That's not why you should love somebody else, because you're going to be able to say you were at the simcha with everybody else and you don't want to be left out. That's why you show somebody a panim tzuhubos, panim sochakos. No, says the Tosfos Yom Tov. Not because of hanah ha-magia l'chamehim, not because in some way they benefit you because they make delicious steak and when they barbecue in the summer and they make a siyum during the 9 days. Anyone remembers we spoke about that here a few years ago? They make a siyum during the 9 days and they're going to invite you to have their delicious London bura. That's why you're friends with them, because you have benefit, pleasure from them. No, because they're a creation of Hashem. So even if they do nothing to benefit you, adarabah, even if they annoy you, the Shvigar called them out of kolal and say, what do you think you're doing? Could you imagine today a mother-in-law doing that to a 2 month married couple? The mother-in-law has to keep her mouth shut. Could you imagine? What did his Rebbe say? It was a dream. It never happened. The Gra, the great Vilna Gaon, says, Ohev shalom v'rodev shalom. But Yerushalmi, Perak Aleph de Peah, the Gemara says, he quotes Talmud Yerushalmi and Peah. I'm quoting the Vilna Gaon. Where am I? In your handout. Towards the bottom of page 4. Bakei shalom v'rod fehu. You should seek peace and chase after. Bikashehu mimkomcha. Seek it out in your place. V'rod fehu b'makom acher. Chase after it in another place. So in other words, you should want that your environment should be an environment of shalom. B'mekomcha. Bakei shalom mimkomcha. In your place, your home. Your Dalet Amos, your family, your friends, your kehila. You should seek out peace in your place. Virad Fehu, chase after it. In other words, chase after it indicates the Vilna Gaon is saying that you have to go somewhere else to get it. You don't have to chase after something that's in your own house. Why not? Because it's in your house. I don't have to chase after the person in my house. They're in my house. Chasing after indicates I have to go somewhere to get something. So when the Mishnah says the Gra, Bakhe Shalom, seek peace, Virad Fehu, and chase after, Bakshehu Mimimchamcha, seek it out in your place, Virad Fehu, but you still should chase after, B'makam Acher. If there's peace in another place, or lack of peace in another place, what should you do? You should go to your best efforts to chase after. Doesn't mean you have to run a marathon. Doesn't mean you have to run down the block. Proverbially, chase after peace somewhere else as well. Like the Pasuk says in Vayikra, Yud Tes, it's 19:18 in Vayikra. So the Gra is saying, what is the Gra teaching you? What I said before. Shalom and Ahava go hand in hand. Remember I said that? If we have Shalom, we'll have Ahava. And if we don't have Ahava, we won't have Shalom, and vice versa. That's what exactly. What Pasuk from all of Tanakh, 24 Siftei Tanakh, did the Gra choose to say, oh, this is what Aaron's talking about. Seek peace in your environment, chase after it somewhere else. So what Pasuk does the Gra choose to quote? Not a Pasuk that has the word Shalom in it. A Pasuk that has the word Ahava in it. Because when you love peace and you cultivate it in your Dalet Amos, and you make sure you seek it out by chasing after it, bring it to peace in another place, then you will have, what's the natural consequence, says the Gra. Like the Pasuk says, he doesn't quote, B'shalom u'b'misha halachiti, he doesn't quote, V'yasem lecha shalom, what does he quote? V'ahavta l'reyacha kamocha. How beautifully this ties into, it's Rosh Chodesh Tammuz, it's Shabbos Mevarchim Tammuz. The second temple was destroyed. And next week, going to quote the Gemara. Next week, actually, next week, one second. Let me see something. Well, we learn next week, okay, it's Gimel Tammuz, right after Rosh Chodesh Tammuz. Next week, we're going to learn, Baz Hashem, will be Gimel Tammuz. We'll quote the Gemara there. I'll quote the Lashon of the Gemara next week. But we all know that it was destroyed because of Sina. Yuma Tas Amad Beis. Everyone knows that. Every school child knows why the second temple was destroyed. Sina. What's the opposite of Sina? Schinam? Ahava Schinam. If you have Ahava, says the Gra, says, what are you going to have? Ahava, ergo, Shalom. No Shalom, no Ahava, Sina. Sina equals Churban and Galus. So, Bakei Shalom bimkomcha virad fehu mimakom acher. This source is not on your hands, though, because as long as it took me to prepare the original shiur, teaching 3 hours, you have to multiply. Like, how long does a 45-minute shiur take to prepare? A big maggid shiur once said to me, you prepare a shiur, it takes you 4 hours to prepare 45 minutes. And after the shiur, they say, yashar koch, very nice. Thinking, very nice, this took me 4 hours to prepare 45 minutes. Okay, so as the weeks have gone, I've been adding more sources, which is why not all of the sources are in your handout. Okay, so on the Gra, which is Bakei Shalom Mimim Kamcha, make sure in your place you have peace, V'rad Fehu Mimakam Acher, and chase after it another place. I want to quote the Gemara Masechta Shabbos Lamed Aleph. My footnote, my bookmark was in the wrong place, sorry. Lamed Aleph Aleph. So the Gemara tells us the following story. A story about Hillel. Hillel, the same Hillel. The Hillel who says, we have the students of Aaron, Olev Sham, Viral Div Sham, Olev Sabriyas, and Makarv in the Torah. The same Hillel who says, are you crazy? You're going to say she's a Suma and an Elaim? You should say, Kala Noi V'chasuda. Oh, says Beis Shammai, it says Bidvar Sheker Tirchak. Hillel says, Al Tatz Dikarbi. Don't worry so much about Midvar Sheker Tirchak. Don't get up in front of the Kala and say, well, you know, you're really ugly, but good luck. No, Kala Noi V'chasuda. The same Hillel features prominently in the following narrative in the Gemara, Masechta Shabbos Lamed Aleph Aleph. Maisa b'shnei b'nei Adam, shehimru zeh et zeh. You have these two people, I'm sorry it's not on your handout. Again, these sources were added. Whatever I'm quoting that's not on your handout was added subsequently to the initial preparation. You have two people who made a bet. What was the bet? Amru, kol mi sheyedich v'yaknid es hilo yito arba meyodzuz. Whoever can successfully annoy, provoke Hillel to lose his temper will win 400 zuz. Amar achad mehem ani akniten. So one of them says, that's fine. I can for sure aggravate Hillel and provoke him to become angry. I'm going to get 400 zuz. So what does this guy do? Also ayam erev Shabbos haya. That day was erev Shabbos. And let's say it was a short Erev Shabbos, not like when you have till 8:07 at night. Shabbos comes in at 4:09. V'hilo chofif, as Rosho, Hilo's washing his hair, l'kavod Shabbos Kodesh, halach v'avar pesach beiso, amar mikan Hilal, mikan Hilal. So this guy goes, and he stands by the entrance of Hilal's house, and he knocks on the door, and he calls out, does Hilal live here? Does Hilal live here? And Rashi says, on the Gemara, mikan Hilal, klum kan Hilal, v'loshon gnai l'nasi Yisrael. It's not just saying, where's Hillel? Rashi is saying the beginning of his statement is already a gnai. He's already trying to annoy Hillel. It's a gnai because he's saying that Hillel's the Nasi, and he's not saying, where is Nasi Hillel? Kvod HaRav Hillel. Rav Hillel. He's just saying, Hillel, Hillel. He doesn't address Hillel respectfully. Hillel's in the shower. The same Hillel. A Pirkei Avos Ov Shalom Ve'Ov Yisabrios. The same Hillel of Kala Na'avichasuda. Nis atef yotze the krasso. Hillel puts on his robe and he goes out to meet this man. Amarlo, the guy said, no, Hillel says, Bini ma ata mevakesh. Hillel says, my son, what would you like? Look how he calls him, my son. He called the guy, says Rashi, lashon genai. The man called Hillel a disparaging, belittling term. You do not address the God of Ador by their first name. Kavod harav, Rosh Hashiva, Nasi. The man addresses Hillel disparagingly, and Hillel calls him my son. Ma atam mevakesh. What do you need? Must be such a pressing Shabbos shaila. Do I need to line the crock pot with foil so I have a blech? The electricity went hard. What should I do about the food in the fridge? How small can I cut the cucumbers on Shabbos? So the man said, she'ela yesh li yishai v'gaval dekasha. So Hillel says, amarlo, sha'al b'ni, sha'al, ask me your question. So the man says, mipnei ma roshein shel bavli m'sagalgalos. Why are the heads of the Babylonians round? Now, the art scroll footnote on Rashi explains why he asks each of these questions, why the Babylonians have round head. I'm not getting into, we're running out of time, I just want to get through the Gemara. But the point is that he's asking a ridiculous question, and you couldn't wait till Sunday to find out why the heads of the Babylonians are round. You need to take Hillel, the Nasi Yisrael, out of the shower. Hillel says, wow, what a beautiful question, my son. Because they do not have skillful midwives. The midwives don't know how to get out the baby. They might use forceps. They make the baby's head the wrong shape. Halach, the man leaves. Vihimtin sha echas. So that was at 11 o'clock in the morning. Shabbos is 4:09. He waits 1 hour. 12 o'clock, chazara amar. An hour later, Mikan Hillel, Mikan Hillel, Hillel had gone back to the shower. Hillel puts on his robe and he comes out to meet him and he said, Bini ma ta mevakesh, my son, what do you need? Amarlo, he said, She'ela yesh li sha, I have such a kasha about Shabbos. What should I do for Shalom Bais if the candle blows out right after I light? There's no electricity, I don't want to spill the soup. Me and my wife don't want to fight. What should I do? No. I have a big question. Mipnei ma einen shal tarmodin. Tirutos. Why are the eyes of the Tarmodians round? Hillel said, Bini she'ela gadola sha'alta. Hillel said, what a wonderful question. Because they live in sandy terrain. He leaves. Halach v'imtin sha echas. What was it? 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock. It's 3 hours till Shabbos. Chazar ramar mikan Hillel. Is mamash gemara. Go look it up. Shabbos klamet aleph aleph. Where's Hillel? Where's Hillel? Hillel puts on his robe. He can't even get dressed. Every time he tries to go finish the shower, the guy's back. He comes out to meet him. Bini ma tamavakesh. What would you do to this guy? You would kill him. Put him in chayram. Send him out of town. Never come back. Put up a big sign that says, trespasser is not wanted. You will be prosecuted to the fullest extent of the law. I have to take a shower. Amarlo, bini ma tamavakesh. My son, what do you seek? I have a big question to ask of you. Ask, my son, my ask. Why are the feet of the Afrikayim so wide? Bini she'ela gadola sha'alta. Because they live in swamplands. Amarlo. She'elos har be'yesh li lishal. He can't exasperate. He can't make Hillel angry. Hillel's not kicking him out. Hillel's not screaming. There are no machlokas here. I have so many questions to ask you. Umis yare ani shema tichos. I'm afraid you're going to become angry at me. Nis atof v'yashiv l'fanav amarlo. Hillel put his robe on. He leaves, he comes, he leaves, he comes, he leaves, he comes. Hillel put in his robe v'yashav l'fanav. Who sits before who? The Nasi b'Yisrael, sits before the man who's trying to win 400 zuz. He doesn't care about the feet of the Afrikayim. He doesn't care about the heads of the Babylonians. He doesn't care about the eyes of the Tarmodian. He only wants to make Hillel angry. Hillel puts on his robe and he sits before him. He says, whatever you want to ask me, ask. Amarlo, the man says, Atahu Hillel Shekorin Oscha Nesi Yisrael. The man says, are you Hillel that they call you the Prince of Israel? Amarlo, Hain. He said, yeah, I might not be deserving, but that's what they call me. Amarlo, Imatahu Lo Yirbu Kemoscha Yisrael. If you are the Nasi Yisrael, there should not be more like you. It's a bracha, tirbu kamoshem b'Yisrael. What does the guy say? Lo yirbu kamoshem b'Yisrael. Bini, mipnei ma'ata marlo. So he says, my son, how could you say this? What are you saying? Mipnei ma, why do you say this? Amarlo. Mipnei she'ibadati al yadcha arba meo zuz. Because of you, the nasi b'Yisrael, I lost 400 zuz. Amarlo. Havei zahir biruchacha. Kidai hu Hillel shetebet al yado arba meyodzuz va'arba meyodzuz ve'Hillel lo yakpid. The Hillel of Ohev Sham ve'Rodev Sham Oves Abrigos Makarv in the Torah. The Hillel of Ketzer Merakim lifnei Akala. The Hillel who teaches us, if you want to be like Aaron, you have to love peace, love people, because Shalom and Ahava go hand in hand, says the Gra. Because what does the Gra say is the essence of Shalom va'ahavta l'reacha kamocha. Amar lo. Why would you tell? There shouldn't be more like me in Israel. He says, because of you, I lost 400 zuz. And Hillel says, be very careful with your disposition. Have a zahir biruchacha. Be careful with your temperament. Kidei hu Hillel. Shetabed al yado arba meot zuz v'arba meot zuz v'hillel yal yakpid. It is worthy for Hillel, on account of Hillel, that you should lose 400 zuz and you should lose another 400 zuz. V'Hillel lo yakpid. And you want to know how Art School translates Hillel lo yakpid? And Hillel will not take offense. The man was driving him crazy. Anybody else would have kicked him out after the first time. It's Erev Shabbos. Call me on Sunday. Maybe we could discuss the heads of the Babylonians on Sunday. But Shabbos is early. Oh, wait. It's Shabbos Chanukah. So not only is Shabbos early, but I got to be ready 20 minutes in advance. And I'm having the in-laws for Shabbos, the ones who I didn't say anything when the mother-in-law, the Shvigar, told me off. So you could come back on Sunday, and I'll fit you in, and we'll discuss the heads of the Babylonians, the feet of the Afrikaim, the eyes of the Tarmodians. He said, I have so many questions to ask you. Ask me whatever you want. As long as Hillel does not become, but I'm afraid you're going to become angry. I'm never going to become angry. I'm not going to take offense. You won't succeed in annoying me. I don't care if you lose 400 zuz and 400 zuz, but there will not be machlokas in my home. Says the Gra, Oiv Shom V'ro, Dev Shom B'Yerushami, Perak Av, Depeya, Balkei Shom V'ro, Feu, Balkei Mimkomcha. Make sure your Dalet Amos is a place of Shalom. V'ro, Feu, B'makom Acher, Kimosha Namar, V'ahaf, Dole Re'acha, Kamocha, Amar Rabbi Akiva, Zekal Gadol, Torah. If there is shiur next week, Baruch Hashem, which is perfect, because I do have sources that aren't on the handout as well. If you take your source, you find. If not, please leave it, because I will be responsible to bring it back next week. Have a wonderful Shabbos. Thank you, Kol Tov. Shabbat Shalom. Appropriate ending. Thank you all. Thank you.